Hi, this is Randall Schwartz, host of Floss Weekly. This week, Guillermo Amaral joins me. We're going to be talking about OSCON 2017. It's happening again. You won't want to miss this, so stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Randall Schwartz and Guillermo Amaral. Episode 424, recorded March 7th, 2017. OSCON 2017. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Bitbucket from Atlassian. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. Start your free account today at bitbucket.org/forthecode. It's time for Floss Weekly, the show about free, libre, open-source software. I am your host, Randall Schwartz, Merlin at Stonehenge.com, bringing you, each week, the movers, the shakers, the big projects, the little projects, projects you may be using every day and totally unaware of it, projects you might want to download right after this show, although it'd be a little hard to download this week's topic, but I'll bring on my co-host first, and we'll start talking about that. Guillermo, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Randall, how's it going? You can't actually download it if you use, like, curl-r on the website or something.
Oh, that's probably true. Probably true as well. But anyway, so I'm speaking to you from wonderful, beautiful downtown Santa Monica. I'm up at ZipRecruiter again. In fact, if you walk looking at the video, you can actually see the skyline. I figured out how to run the blinds so that we can actually see that. I'm, of course, up here on the 11th floor of a building that's probably one of the tallest buildings in Santa Monica. And Guillermo, Guillermo Amaral, your whole last name. That'll be nice. Where are you speaking to us?
My underground above ground bunker here in the next to the beach. So it's
cool,
sunny and bright.
Well, I'm next to the beach too, but you can't see it. It's down there somewhere, but at the wrong angle to be able to see it out of the window there. And I have to say, happy birthday. Yesterday was your birthday.
Thank you. So yay. Thank you.
Taking on the show immediately after your birthday, you must have recovered. This week's show is about one of my favorite topics. It is about OSCON, the big open source conference. It's been going on for many decades now, I think. It's been a while. It's been 15 years, 16 years, somewhere in there. I guess we have experts on, of course, to talk about that. I've been going to OSCON since before it was called OSCON, but it was just simply an extension of the original Perl conference. And Perl, of course, being my area of expertise, and we started this annual conference for that, and then it started expanding into other open source things, and then it sort of became the open source conference with the Perl conference included, and now Perl's just a simple little track somewhere in the middle of that. So, but at least there's still Perl stuff. That's what I like, is that I can at least still go to OSCON. And Guillermo, you've been to OSCON a few times, right?
Yeah, way back. I haven't actually gone in quite a few years now. So I think it's probably changed a lot since the last time it was there.
Okay. And so today we have on, I'm going to mispronounce her name probably, but Rachel Romliotis, something close to that. She's one of the program chairs for OSCON. We also have joining us this time, Rachel's actually been with us before, but joining us for the first time this time is Kelsey Hightower, who also is very important to OSCON and is very important to tech in general, and talks a lot about CoreOS and a bunch of other things. So they're going to be coming on in just a second. But before we do that, I have a very important message. This episode of Floss Weekly is brought to you by Bitbucket. Let's be honest, your code is your world. You create it, tweak it, and lovingly obsess over it every day. So picking the right repository management tool is super important. Only the best for your code, right? That's why the team at Atlassian created Bitbucket. Bitbucket is the Git solution for professional teams. It helps over 5 million developers build with a purpose. Bitbucket gives teams of all sizes free private repositories with state-of-the-art features. The world's best pull request algorithm. Pull requests facilitate code reviews. Collaborate right in the code with inline comments, threaded conversations, and mentions. Built-in continuous delivery. Branch permissions help prevent errors by controlling the actions users can perform. Get granular permissions by the project, repository, or branch branch level. Also integrations with your favorite tools like Docker, AWS, and Azure. And because Bitbucket comes from Atlassian, it offers the best Jira integration available, giving your team everything you need to take your code from concept to customer. More than 900,000 teams love Bitbucket. It's used by companies like Ford, PayPal, Starbucks, and Pandora. It's the only collaborative Git solution that massively scales. So Bitbucket is for the code that takes us to Mars, decodes the human genome, or drives your next car. Please visit bitbucket.org/for the code to start your free account. bitbucket.org/for the code. Try Bitbucket today. What will your code do? We thank Bitbucket for their support of Floss Weekly. Let's go ahead and bring on our guests, Rachel Romulaitis. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
How do I do on your last name? I think I'm mangled.
Yeah, it's all right. A lot of people do. It's Romulaitis.
Romulaitis. Okay, there we go. Hey, I should say, yes, welcome back to the show. Also joining us today for the first time, Kelsey Hightower. Kelsey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Glad to be here. Honored.
Cool. And where are you speaking to us from, Kelsey?
Live from San Francisco in my 16th-floor suite, a.k.a. the Westin Hotel.
Nice, nice. And Rachel, where are you speaking to us from?
I'm actually in the heart of downtown Boston. It's kind
the
of,
heart of Boston?
Just to give you, yeah, we're downtown now, and it's almost snowy. Thank God it isn't actually snowy, so.
So, Rachel, for the five people in the open source world that haven't been to OSCON, why don't you give us the sort of the overview of what it is and how long it's been around and what people should expect to see there?
Yeah, sure. So I started calculating when you said how many years it was going to be. It's either 18 or 19. I'm so sorry. I don't know that. I like second and triple and quadruple guess myself. I'm like, no, it's 18. Or is it? I don't know. So it's 18 or 19, so it's almost 20 years old, which is really, really cool for a conference. And as you mentioned, it has evolved quite a bit over that time, as you would expect, since tech's evolved that much. What's really cool about it more recently is that, as you well know, open source has gone well beyond Perl and well beyond languages and is really a culture, a community, a way of doing things. It has lots of different techniques. And seems to really be, I guess the thing I would say this year that I'm looking at a little bit more is how open source is really driving in some senses, and this is a little marketing phrase that is kind of, I don't know if everyone knows, but digital transformation, right? So everyone's like, okay, we have to break down the monolith, we have to go to microservices. You know, we've always had developers, not always, but for a long time, a couple decades now, we've had developers using more and more open source tools. So now what's happening, I think we're seeing, and you'll see this reflected in the OSCON tracks, is how open source really has an impact even well beyond the software development teams. So we do have lots of like technical stuff on like Rust and Go and Docker and TensorFlow stuff that is filling up. But we also have like, how do you explain to your boss why you should be a part of the open source community? How does it impact you? How do you bring that culture internal to your company? So we're continuing with that. We started with that a little bit last year, and we're continuing on. And there's just always fun new things happening in open source. So it's always interesting to put together the schedule.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that in doing this show over the years is that, you know, it used to be, that open source is strictly about languages and strictly about, you know, operating systems and things like that. But now there's like, it's sort of embedded in our culture now more companies now are selecting open source strategies out of the box. In fact, well, I'm probably biased because I'm in the open source world, but I'm not seeing or hearing a lot of companies do proprietary software anymore. Is that your observation as well?
Absolutely. I think I was just talking to someone about front-end web performance, and I was like, okay, so what are the tools really that are used there? And it's all mostly based on web page test. Like even if there's a proprietary solution, there's sort of like an open source backend or an open source version. So I think it's more about, I mean, we have tons of technical stuff. I want to say that because we have more than last year. That was one of the things, comments we got last year, which was like, hey, this is cool, but more technical stuff. So we have more technical stuff for the people that really want to get in there and like figure out problems. But we do still have that piece in the schedule that is that explain, like, gives you the tools to explain to probably not the CTO, maybe the like the CEO of your company, like, why you want to do this, how do you want to do this, what does it mean for you? And I think, as you mentioned, you know, like, we're in the open source world, so we're kind of like, duh. But I think there's a huge, huge world out there that is just getting their head around, not necessarily like the idea that there's open source software, but how do you really incorporate that into a business and why that's a good thing?
Cool. Well, before we get Kelsey involved a little more here, and I want to also make sure that we get over the basic logistics of OSCON. Like, where is it and when is it?
Oh, sure. So it's May 10th and 11th. Are the actual session days, and it's taking place in Austin, Texas, again at the Austin Convention Center. The tutorials, which are always a favorite, are happening on May 8th and 9th first. And actually, I was just, this is some insider baseball stuff here. I was looking at what are the most popular ones so far, and I'll tell you. It's deploying and scaling applications in containers. No surprise there.
Yes.
Building, deploying, and running scalable serverless applications using AWS. So AWS is something we're definitely looking at. More microservices, surprise. Let's see. Oh, PowerGit, perennial favorite. Open tracing, which is kind of cool. And, oh, some more Go stuff. So nothing too crazy, but that seems to be bringing – oh, and TensorFlow. People are loving TensorFlow. So that's sort of like the big leads in the tutorial. I think of it as a race, like who's going to get to the top, who's the big winner. But we have 38 or 40, as usual. So it's sort of like if we don't have what you want, I don't know what to tell you.
Indeed, indeed. And I'm happy that it's in Austin again this year, although I'm a little disappointed that it's not in Portland, because that made it a much more convenient for me to choose to go there. But I actually enjoy being in other cities. I'm a professional traveler, it seems. So being in Austin is not a bad deal. And in fact, I'm going to be in Boston the previous week for the Red Hat Summit. So I'm going to go from Boston to Austin. It's going to be like make sure I don't get that booked backwards, because they sound similar. So, yeah.
Exactly.
So Kelsey, what's been your involvement with OSCON in particular, and maybe open source in general?
So I guess I come in to the open source from, I guess, the product angle. So my first foray into open source, I think open source had then became the foundation of most products that people are building these days. I think if it's not open source to begin with, I don't think you have any chance of adoption. There's so much competition out there. There's so many people building things that if you start proprietary, I think a clone can be built in a matter of months or weeks. And I think for most people, that's how they are introduced to open source. So my start, maybe deeper in open source world, came in through languages like Python. But I really started getting involved in the community side at Puppet Labs, which had a product that was based on open source. So my contributions to OSCON are to bring kind of that, you know, that type of user who is also a consumer of a product, but also a contributor. So the community part is as big as the software is to me.
Well, yes, and then I think that's I think as we get to more of a, you know, necessary to interface with many other implementations and organization things, the data sharing aspect of it has really been interesting, and open source has allowed us to have, you know, common platforms to do this kind of data sharing and data coordination, that we're getting into a much more data rich world, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'll definitely say that. And I think a lot of the products that are out today build on top of other ones. So as we get bored of existing projects or existing products that are out there, we tend to add value by basing our new projects and products on top of existing ones and adding new value. And that's happening so much faster these days. You know, Docker comes out, then there's Kubernetes. And this happens across the spectrum. We see this with databases. We see this with data stores. And now we're seeing this with machine learning. So I think this has become the foundation for any type of software adoption process.
You know, I think last time we had OSCON here, I asked about open source hardware. Is there anything going to be related to that in the show this year?
So we do have some open source hardware in sort of like the cutting edge track. So the area that we're looking at is, you know, open source hardware is kind of a little bit more difficult. Obviously, you can use open source software on open source hardware. But I think as much as people are starting to get why you would use open source software, the hardware side of things is still sort of a little bit antiquated, I think, and that there's still proprietary notions kicking around there. So we have some of that, although I will say not as much as in the past. We've really sort of focused on the software side of things rather than hardware.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
And I think the hardware world just presents a huge challenge, right? You can't just go on a weekend from home and produce some hardware. You know, at any scale is going to require some form of manufacturing, shipping. I think just the risk involved around hardware is so high at this point. I think the closest we've gotten is to open platforms. So a lot of Raspberry Pi, a lot of open compute. You know, these are where the communities are collaborating on the designs that make it easier to adopt open source software such as open firmware and open operating systems such as Linux. But I just think the bar is so high to enter the hardware space that that presents a challenge.
And have you seen any, let's say the tooling part, because there's CAD programs like HiCAD, for example, out there. There's a few applications that'll help you with your BOM list. Have you seen anything like that in, on the show? Is that something that, you know, not strictly related to hardware itself, you know, how to make it and how to produce it? And I know all that part can actually be a little daunting for most people. So it's, like you mentioned, it's not something I can just, you know, get into today and get a project out tomorrow and maybe make a product out of that. But, you know, the tooling part is still kind of interesting, I think. But I'm not sure if that is something covered in OSCON.
I think when you go to the showroom floor where a lot of our sponsors are, you start to see kind of the hardware row of people that have like custom keyboards they're designing. You'll start to see some of these custom hardware projects. And I think that community is always represented at OSCON. They're always presenting. They're always showing their new designs. So I think when you get into engaging conversation with them and you say, hey, how did you build that? I think that's where those conversations tend to surface a lot more, right? You can walk up to their exhibit, you know, touch what they built, and they love to go into details about how they built it. So I think that's kind of where the community goes at OSCON to really research kind of the latest and greatest and how they're producing this stuff, especially on shoestring budgets.
I think Aaron's going to be happy that I covered the hardware questions. So I do have another one, though. So what level should I be if I want to, you know, go to OSCON? Can I just be somebody who's not just one, you know, wanting to learn about open source, but, you know, maybe wants to pick a project to work on or something? Or do you already have to have some knowledge of, you know, open source or languages or you know, if I'm just somebody walking across the street, can I get in?
Yeah, so go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, so there's lots of opportunities. So we started last year and we have this year as well, sort of an open source 101 track. So that's for people that are like, I don't even know what this is, but I would like to. We have open source in business for people who are in business but that don't know open source. And we also have something that we started last year that we're going to have again this year, called Open Source Contribute. And that the reasoning behind that, so that's open, I guess, if you have an expo hall pass, not the whole full ride, but so if you have an expo hall pass, you can take a look at OSCON Contribute, which will be on the expo hall floor. And what that is basically there are experts there that if you've never contributed to open source, that are going to help you make your first contribution. And reverse that is that if you have projects that have issues, bring them on in. So we're going to have a couple of people pre-populated there. We're talking with some people to have representatives from code.gov come in and work on that. But we're definitely going to have projects big and small. And we really want to encourage people, if they've started a project up and they need help, this is the place to come to do that. It's sort of like open source hackathon instead of just sort of like hack.
Yeah. Is there go ahead.
Yeah, and we see even experts are coming to learn as well, right? So there are a lot of people who are experts in one thing, but they come to OSCON. I always think of OSCON as like the GitHub of conferences. There's so many projects that are available at GitHub. A lot of times the creators of those projects are there. The core contributors are there. So I think even people who we consider experts are actually coming to learn about things that are outside the area of expertise. That's kind of the point of OSCON in many ways.
You know, just thinking out of the top of my head here, if somebody wants to get into this, like, let's say Open Source 101 series or track, is there like a special price they can use, or is it, you know, do they need a standard ticket for that?
So the it is part of that, but I have a special discount code actually for Floss Weekly listeners, and it's Floss20. So that's 20% off, which I can give you today, FLOSS20. But yeah, to get into that part, that is part of the main sessions of OzCon.
Cool. I was actually just going to follow up on that statement that Kelsey made a moment ago, that one of the things that I would do, even though I was an expert instructor in Perl, and also then I taught small talk and I taught Dart at the various conferences there, I did come to completely broaden my knowledge of all other areas that I wasn't aware of. And I think it's it was at OzCon that I first saw Docker. It was OzCon that I first saw even all the way back to like the original AWS stuff that was first discussed, first really sort of came to mind at OzCon. So it's really a conference where, you know, it's like it'd be the equivalent of, say, CES for consumer electronics. Would you agree?
Yeah, I definitely think that variety is there. Going back to my first OzCon, I can remember the hallway track being one of the most amazing things. You go watch a few sessions, and then the speakers from those sessions are readily accessible right there in the hallway, and you can actually discuss things. I know lots of new projects were born on the OzCon floor, right? People are collaborating, and they have the means to do it, and you can start hacking on that new project there. So I think OzCon kind of brings together and fosters that kind of environment.
Definitely. And also, OzCon isn't just about going to the conference. There's also a lot of other activities that go on. There's usually like a big party or activities of some kind. Can you talk a little bit about what that is for this year?
Yeah, we're definitely going to have a big party. I forget exactly where it is, but it's walking distance. And we're going to have Ignite, of course, which for people that don't know what that is, it's sort of the short 5-minute 20 slides, tell us something super interesting and entertain us. So we're definitely going to have that. As I said, we have OzCon Contribute, which is great. We're going to also have, speaking of sort of what you can get into at sort of a lower cost price point, we're going to have Open Container Day, which is going to talk all about different containers, Kubernetes, Docker, it's going to talk about Mesos and everything that has to do with that whole world. And we may have one more full day of content, but we don't quite know yet, so I don't want to announce that. So there are things to I won't.
And also, if you haven't been to Austin, one of the things I really enjoyed last year was that the Austin Convention Center is only a couple blocks away from Austin's famous, is it 6th Street?
Yes. Yep.
Where there's like a whole series of bars. There's a whole series of, and good restaurants, you know, not just bars, but
yeah,
good
right,
restaurants and everything else. Great entertainment all the way up and down there.
Go ahead. Sorry. A newer street too called like Rainy Street, I think, which is basically a bunch of older homes that were turned into bars / food establishments, which sounds pretty cool too.
Awesome. And, you know, I made a big deal about the fact that you're providing lunch last year. Yes, the lunches were actually really good.
Yeah, I agree. And this year, actually, I think we're bringing in on the tutorial days, food trucks from around Austin, which will be cool. No, Austin's a great city. Like, I have to make my Lambert's reservation now ahead of time so I can go there more than once. But, Austin's great. I mean, it has sort of these older companies that have been around for a long time, like IBM and Dell. And then it has lots of new startups right in the heart of town. And then other companies are sort of starting to have satellites, like Google and Apple. So it's definitely a hotbed of tech activity. And that's why it's fun to be there. I am absolutely sure we'll be back to Portland at some point, but it's also fun to sort of stretch our legs and get out and get a different view of what's happening sort of from a different city that's sort of similar, I guess, in excitement and style in some ways, but nonetheless, like sort of like pushing the envelope. So it's fun.
Well, a couple of things that I really appreciated being a native Portlander was the fact that I think it was on the very first day walking around the Austin Convention Center that I saw the words, "Keep Austin Weird."
Yes.
And that's, of course, Portland's key phrase as well. So it seems like, as was discussed last year, Austin's really just sort of like Portland East. So that and the presence of Voodoo Donuts, I was sort of amazed to see if there was one of those in Austin as well. So it's like, okay, this is really just Portland in a different, in a much, much, much hotter place. I have to say,
and with the cowboy hat. Yeah.
The temperature was temperature was insanely warm. And I remember, I think I also asked for at least one day of rain, and there was, in fact, one day of rain. So that was very, very appropriate. I really enjoyed the fact that I could have a little bit of the liquid sunshine as well as the intense amounts of sun directly over the head, it felt like. I don't know. It's probably not, but not mathematically possible, but still. So what are some of the new things to OSCON? I mean, if somebody who's like me, is a veteran, been coming here for a long time, what might I see that's a little more unusual, partially probably because of a change in the climate of how open source is being used, but are there new subjects that are starting to get a little bit more attention?
Yeah, so I'm sure Kelsey has his own sort of favorites. The stuff that I'm really interested in hearing more about is sort of like the serverless architecture stuff. So we have a tutorial on that and a few sessions. We have Neil Ford doing a whole sort of like fundamentals of software architecture, but then also doing a session on evolutionary architectures, which is something he's been working on for a while. AWS, as you mentioned, sort of that, while it's been around, it's sort of like all of the Lambda stuff and all of that new stuff's coming. I know we're doing something on, speaking of hardware actually, voice assistance with that area. Machine learning is, of course, something that is big, even more so, right, in our data conference Strata, but is definitely something that's touching upon all sorts of developers, even if you're not sort of like definitely focused on data. I mean, data's everywhere, right? So as far as having more technical content, we have the stuff where like, you should be using this now, or I don't know what the heck you're doing. And then sort of more of the cutting edge stuff. And so that's where it gets a little bit more fun. So we're talking about a whole wide range of stuff, like progressive web apps, which I think some people are totally into, some people don't know about. We have something about working on Mars and teamwork. So I don't know what that is about. There's some of that like kooky OSCON stuff in there as well. But I would be curious to know what Kelsey's looking forward to also at this point.
Actually, I'm looking for, you know, the things that get me most excited about open source is when the projects go stable. So there's this hype cycle where most projects don't survive. And at OSCON, we have a lot of in real life tracks. So how people are actually using the stuff that was considered hype maybe 2 years ago, that is actually starting to become the foundation of what they're building. So when we think about things like containers, it's not just containers anymore. It's about distributed systems. We have these kind of cluster managers that allow you to compute wherever you want. This cross cloud thing is becoming real. And open source is at the foundation of that. But watching people, seeing how they use that stuff to actually build new things, and that's the stuff that's pretty impressive to me, is actually seeing what has survived over the previous OSCONs.
And, you know, I usually go to this little-known, not really little-known, conference here in L.A. called Scale. In fact, I think one of your speakers is Garrett, which is, you know, the main guy there. But how would this Scale compare to OSCON? Is that something, you know, somebody who enjoys Scale, would he also enjoy OSCON? Or is, you know, I don't know, would it be too different?
I think we have a collection of a lot of things at OSCON, but I think now that kind of this container movement, which is really heavily ops focused and is really concentrated on actually having the secrets of hyperscale, you know, that from the Facebooks, the Googles, the cloud providers are now collaborating probably for the first time at large scale on all of these open source projects, Docker, Kubernetes, Mesos, and so forth. And all of these systems really appeal to that audience at scale. So I think you'll start to see a lot of those same contributors, the same community members at OSCON. And I think at OSCON, you're going to have probably a little bit more focus on the actual software itself, you know, how it's built, the roadmaps, where it's going, and then having the people there that are actually shaping that. So I think it's going to give you kind of a nice blend between ops and the people helping build that technology. And sometimes it's the exact same folks.
Good. I have spoken with a few clients about this before. Maybe there is a track that you guys are already, you know, offering, and I can actually forward them to the show, which is licensing. It does get a lot more complicated. It can be easy and it can be more complicated, you know, with the GPL than the newer GPL coming out. And, things like, for example, in my case, I use Qt a lot, and Qt keeps sometimes tweaking, the Qt company anyway, keeps tweaking their license depending on each release that keeps coming out. And sometimes clients, you know, just don't know what to do. They don't know if their product is, you know, going to be, they can still use their product in the future if they have to release something else. Is there something like that, like a licensing 101 talk maybe?
Yeah. So I actually, that came up last year too. I was talking to Karen Sandler, and she was like, I could talk about that. I was like, man, people would love, like, people don't know about the intricacies of that, and you're kind of the perfect person to talk. So we have her doing a sort of a practical, I think it's a practical guide to GPL and copyleft, like a whole tutorial. So, like, really getting into the specifics and answering questions for people. So that's a good example of sort of like the non-tech talks we have, that these are important things to know about and things that, you know, continue to change, to your point. So we have a tutorial on Tuesday, the day before the session start. It's actually, I think it's Karen, and I think it's also Bradley Kuhn. So that's why I put that there, because people do ask about that.
Yeah. In fact, I've seen a lot of businesses that keep trying to at least use open source software as a stepping stone into this whole magical world we work in, right? Maybe not planning on releasing something yet, but, maybe later on they'll start releasing their own product. And you've probably seen that before. And I do think it's something that most of these companies, you know, would actually need. They want to start learning what licenses exist, what licenses they can use, and how to release their product so somebody else might not just, you know, steal it in the end. It would probably be a good talk to always have in OSCON.
It's the vegetables, really, but there's no reason you can't put butter and cheese on them, you know, like, and make it enjoyable and figure it out.
My doctor would not like that. And what about tooling? We mentioned a lot of tooling for things like Docker and such. But I've also met a lot of people who have actually started getting into open source software and still don't know how to use something like Git, or don't know how to use something like, you know, Jira. Is there something for that type of beginner who's a, you know, experienced developer, but maybe has been stuck in the Windows team? I don't know what the name is, sort of Team Viewer or something. No, that way, that's not it. You know what I mean? That thing.
Well, Git specifically, I can tell you, is just like year in and year out, it's like people fill those, you know, sessions up and tutorials up. So we have both again. And we have sort of, I would say it's probably not, it's probably like, how do you get Git to work for you? Do you know what I mean? It's not the super, super basics, but it's how do you really get a lot out of it, and sort of looking at the different, the newer sort of workflows and how to work with your team and stuff. So Git's definitely covered. I don't think we covered Jira.
We have things like Jenkins. Of course, a lot of people are still very interested in the end-to-end pipeline. So we have a tutorial on how to build pipelines with Jenkins. We also have things about, you know, how do you, you know, have a secure practice around your coding? Like, how do you have reproducible builds? You know, all the things we think of now as the end-to-end pipeline around going from, like, your text editor to what goes into production. So we end up covering tons of tools in that space, and it's very much a hands-on approach. We want people to leave with something they can go put in practice when they get back to work.
Hey, so we had a question actually from the chat room. McCune asks, will any of the OSCON talks be available either live streaming or archived later?
That is a good question. I don't believe we're going to do live stream. I believe some will be available later when all the video comes together and is edited. Yes.
Okay, and I do know that it's my intent, as it is every year, to do a live show from OSCON. So I hopefully within the – and now that my shows are on Tuesdays instead of Wednesdays, I only have one day to figure out who's going to be the guest on the show. So it's always a big surprise to me. Hey, you know, I was just looking at the front page of OSCON.com, which is, in fact, where you can go to find out more about this. And it says, early price ends March 16th. Does that mean that we're still actually in time for people to save a couple of bucks on top of saving from Floss 20?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Thank you for mentioning that, because that is indeed true. So you still have, what is it, about a week or so until to get a really good price. So definitely check out the page, see what makes sense for you. And it's well worth it. I mean, it's just chock full, like from like actually sitting down and really getting into something to in a session to talking to, like Kelsey said, like there's just so many cool people in the hallway to talk to. You could probably do that exclusively, but I think, you know, a little combo of both is the right mix.
Well, and that's what I found too. And I'm definitely second what Kelsey was saying there, is that you can bump into some very interesting people in the hallways. And in doing so, you might inspire them, or they might inspire you to actually create stuff that ultimately becomes some big project. So it's a great place. Oh, we should have also mentioned we still got a few more minutes. So I want to also mention the BOFs. Can you describe what a BOF is and what that all means to OSCON?
Yeah, so basically we have space set aside on the evenings for people to create their own sort of like unsessions. So we'll have a board up, usually across from registration, where, you know, birds of a feather is what BOF stands for. And so you can put, if you want to talk about Inner Source, or if you want to talk about Perl, or if you want to talk about, you know, your first like new to open source. So it's a great way to find like-minded individuals, or at least individuals that want to talk about the same thing, but maybe have vastly different opinions, and you know, continue that fun into the evening.
I've got to say, yes, OSCON is definitely my favorite conference in terms of not only what goes on in terms of the content, but also what goes on outside of the standard classroom walls, the standard presentation walls. So definitely a wonderful place to be at. We're just about out of time. So is there anything that either of you would like to add that we didn't get to cover just now?
Yeah, so I think, you know, most people, I say definitely come to OSCON. We have lots of great technology, lots of great topics. But to me, this is a big, big community conference as well. This is where the practitioners, the consumers, the soon-to-be contributors, everyone involved in open source, it takes a lot of people to make this happen, graphic designers, people that write documentation, the legal stuff. This is kind of where we all come together and really focus on this kind of open source movement. So kind of get an appetite for everything. We have lots of stuff on the menu, but I want to make sure people don't forget that. This is kind of where that community continues to grow and where we get to see all the people that we typically only interact with remotely.
Yeah, I would cool. I would sort of piggyback onto that and just say open source thrives with more voices that have been around for 18 or 19 years and new voices. So I think it's important for us to be a place where those people can learn, and whether they're from a startup, whether they're or whether they're a huge, huge company, and to be able to talk sort of across time, as it were, like what has made open source so successful to this point, but then to also for everyone to be open to listening to crazy new ideas that might, you know, change open source in some way, but allow it to thrive for another 20 years.
And I also have to say, exquisite keynote speakers as well. So that's always a good feature as well. Well, like I said, we're just about out of time. But Rachel and Kelsey, it's been really wonderful chatting with you about OSCON, and I will see both of you there.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Great. That was Rachel. Give us one more try. Rachel Romliotis. Close? Romliotis?
Close, something? Yes.
Okay. I'll get it someday.
There you go.
Okay, Kelsey, thank you for having an easier name. Kelsey Hightower. That one I can do. Next week, another conference. We're going to be talking about Libra Planet 2017, which is the annual Free Software Foundation conference. And that also is coming up shortly after that. So if you watch next week's show, you'll be able to find out more about whether you want to be in Boston, I guess, a few weeks after the show is actually done. And coming up after that is SIMP, the Managed Ecosystem for Secure Operations, based around Puppet, being able to manage your organization's cloud software so that it complies with stuff like PCI and HIPAA and all those other important things, and also just doesn't let your password leak out. That's always an important thing, especially these days. We just added to the schedule Hub Zero, which is a platform for dynamic websites supporting research and education. This is a really cool thing. So this is a technology that basically helps organizations create websites that otherwise would have to hire or develop on their own. It's kind of a great platform building tool. Also, PG Backrest is coming up. That's the Postgres backup and restore software. Still plenty of slots to fill if you want to watch how I'm doing that. That's twit.tv/floss, the homepage for the show. If you go there, you can see the big spreadsheet linked from there. We have a live stream every day at not every day. Every day we tape. We do not tape every day. I would never be able to handle that. 9:30 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesdays at live.twit.tv. We take a couple of questions from there today. You can follow us at Floss Weekly on Google+. You can also watch that on Twitter instead, at Floss Weekly, for those people who do not do Google+. And I'm not going to get into the stupid jokes I made last week about the difference between people who do Twitter and Google+. You just watch last week's show to find out. Follow me at Randall L. Schwartz on Google+, or at Merlin on Twitter, Merlyn. I will be at YAPSE and OSCON. In fact, I will have just been given a tutorial at YAPSE. So I'm going to be doing my Perl Second Best Practices, which is my take on the Perl Best Practices book that Damien Conway wrote. I have a few variations from some of the things he chose. So I have this talk that I jokingly called Perl Second Best Practice that'll be offered as a paid tutorial there. And of course, OSCON, I'll be there just to hang out and find new guests for Floss Weekly and do one of our live shows from there. Hopefully, I'm going to be at DragonCon. Still waiting to hear back from their guest services coordinator to see if my guest application was accepted. I was just at Scale last week. I met probably 10 potential guests. In fact, I just had one email me this morning saying, okay, you're one of the people, I'm one of the people you talk to, so put me on your schedule. So this is going to be good. I think we're going to get probably a number of quick fill-ups here. I also have about 15 business cards that I have to sort out now. Which one of those were guests? I can't tell. Yeah, I'm not very organized. I should be more organized at conferences, but I'm just so crazy when I'm there. Very exhausting. Bumped into a lot of people. And I had been talking about FISLE, the big conference in Brazil, but I've just been informed by my contact there that no FISLE this year. Apparently, the Brazilian government has had a regime change, and the new government is not as open source friendly. So this is a little annoying that I won't be able to get to go to Brazil later in the year like I was hoping to. At this point, we'd normally hand it back over to Guillermo to say if he wanted to plug anything, but we apparently lost him. Skype has not been happy to us today. So I guess without anything further to say, we'll see you all again next week on Floss Weekly.